You're not going to like this, but I want to know if you're in some kind of trouble like you were before.
What?
I know I'm not always so good at knowing how to handle these things, but I don't think money is the way to help you.
I'm not well, and this place could actually save me. I wouldn't be here asking you if it wasn't really important.
No, I can't loan you the money. And frankly, I'm not sure I would if I had it.
What do you mean?
I don't believe you.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Struggle Session. I'm Leslie III.
I'm Shannon Strucci.
And today we have a kind of a different format for our episode. The listeners know myself and Shannon and Jack, of course, we are serious film critics.
Mm-hmm.
And now the industry is beginning to recognize. We got an email from Tri-Coast/Worldwide/Rock Salt Releasing over there, and they sent us this movie called White Lie, which is going to be coming out very soon. You can pre-order it on all the digital platforms now. It's coming out on January 5th, early next year, and they sent this movie. And when they sent it to me, I was a little confused, to be honest with you, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about this girl who is lying about having cancer and scamming people for money. Real thing that happens. She's like running a GoFundMe scam. And when I read the description, I was like, well, we don't really talk dramas that much on Struggle Session. I wonder why they sent it to us. And then I watched the trailer and I realized, oh, wait, it's actually like a crime thriller. It's like a high intensity, like edge of your seat thriller. The movie it reminded me of was Uncut Gems.
Me too. It's a less sympathetic. Well, I think the protagonist is sympathetic, but she's not as like charming as Howie or whatever. You're just because it's a different kind of addiction. She's like addicted to the attention and addicted to that sort of stuff rather than just a straight up gambling addiction. But that was the number one movie that I thought of as well when I watched it.
Yeah, I thought this movie, and this is our review. We won't be diving too much into spoilers here. This movie isn't out yet. So we're just going to do kind of a quick review before we get to our special guest, who this movie stars Casey Rohl, who you may know from my favorite TV show of all time and Shannon's favorite TV show of all time, Hannibal, as she plays Abigail Haas. But we're going to talk to her about this film after we do our brief review. And the first thing I really want to say about the movie is I really did really enjoy it. It's a tense, 90 minutes. It is about a subject matter that I think is usually handled in a more drama fashion, or you would see, like, the movie starts off straight off from like the day before she basically is exposed to everyone. Like, it shows you like the most intense moments of this long con that she's been running for years, and you get to see how things kind of start to fall apart for her, how she tries to piece them back again, just like Uncut Gems. It happens at the last moments of Howie's life as a degenerate gambler, and we get to see what may or may not be the final moments of this person running this massive scam. And I just was on the edge of my seat, and I like it was actually hard to watch at times because it was just so intense.
I liked it a lot too. It starts off with her shaving her head, and it's like, okay, she's faking it. There's no ambiguity.
Yes.
Pretty much from the beginning, and the issues just keep escalating and escalating. And I liked how everything was handled, because it would have been very easy to just like demonize her totally.
Yeah.
Or to try to make her like too sympathetic to where it was corny. It's like, well, she's still scamming innocent people, especially her girlfriend, especially like other people who are close to her. And parts of it get, without getting over the top, get really scary. Like you said, it's like, oh no, what is she going into? She's doing it to herself, but you don't want to see her like get killed or something.
Yeah, like this thing gets really like intense and deep, and she does not have a plan. She doesn't know how she's going to get out of it, and you're just trying to figure out with her, like, is she going to get out of it? And much like Howie, like, you don't know what she's going to do next, because she is someone who is very ill and needs mm-hmm. help. And people do want to help her. She's just not really ready for the kind of help that she needs. Instead, she just wants to their money and their adulation and being told how great she is and how much she's doing, when all these people are around her that are willing to love her and help her. But she mm-hmm. just is has been lying for so long, and she doesn't see any kind of way out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I liked it. It was intense.
Yeah, very, very intense movie. I think if you like thrillers, you'll be really into it. I thought, we're about to have her on the show, so this may be inappropriate to say, but I actually do think Casey Rowe did an amazing, amazing job in this. She, I remember, you know, first seeing her on Hannibal in that first episode, and you don't really think much about Abigail Hobbs. You just think, like, oh, she's like the character from Law and Order that gets murdered before the opening credits, right? Like, she's just supposed to be there as a victim, but then you see kind of that she has this much more going on and this darker side to her. And it's kind of similar with this movie, where at first you see that, you know, she's saving her head, she's lying, but then eventually you get to see, like, how deep she is in these lies, how willing she is to, like, screw over people who love her. And it's just, you're always, you know, kind of shocked by her behavior and how she is able to keep a straight face, and how you believe she believes that she's telling the truth most of the time.
I think the core performances are her, and I think the woman who plays her girlfriend, and just kind of watching them go back and forth. Or for me, it was the kind of emotional core of the movie, because her rich girlfriend,
yes.
she's playing, she's scamming, like, loves her
yes.
100% and is supporting her, and you're, like, waiting for something bad to happen. But yeah, her, Casey Rowe's performance, there's one, I'm not going to spoil what the scene is, but there's this, like, one scene later on in the movie where she gives this look. She kind of realizes something, and the look on her face, I was like, that is amazing. Like, just to
I know what you're talking certain, I think I know
terrifying
what you're talking. Yes.
And conveying that kind of emotion with just, again, like you said, we're having her on the show, but honestly, I thought that that in particular, even just to watch this movie for, like, a couple of really, really great performances.
Yeah,
another actress.
Yeah, it's Amber Anderson, who plays the very loving girlfriend who really, really just wants to believe in her, and a Martin Donovan character actor who you've seen in a few things. He's in Tenet, actually, as well. He plays the father, and he's in the film in very brief but very, like, intense scenes, just mm-hmm. like incredible. And it felt so, like, real, and just, I mean, again, comparing it to Uncut Gems, even though this movie was actually filmed, shot, and done before Uncut Gems, I think, has started filming. This movie, I think they did this in 2018, but yeah, it really keeps you on the edge of your seat on what seems like might be just, like, kind of a low stakes thing, mm-hmm. but it just feels like so life or death at all times.
It does. It's kind of stressful to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
In, like, a good way.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that, yeah. You're going to be stressed out watching it. But I really, really enjoyed it on the whole. I genuinely think it's worth checking out.
I do too.
Today's special guest, she is the star of White Lie, out on VOD January 5th. You may know her from The Killing, which also starred Michelle Forbes, who is a former Struggle Session guest as well. Ooh. You may know her from Arrow, but I think most of you know her as Abigail Hobbs from my favorite TV show of all time, Hannibal. Casey Rowe, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me.
First things first, have to ask you, how is the quarantine treating you?
Holy moly. Listen, I mean, it's rough. It is, but I'm fortunate enough to have less stress than I think some other folks do, so I'm doing all right. I'm prioritizing mental health. That's what I'm doing.
Then there have been stories about people who are work in the industry having a lot of issues dealing with not having work, not being able to go places, live the life that they used to have. Like, that must be like a very like difficult transition.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, especially as an actor. Like, if that's the only sort of artistic pursuit you go after, and kind of are relying on other people to help you do your creative venture. So when you can't be with other people, it really does kind of throw a wrench in that whole thing. But, you know, it's been a time to explore other avenues, make the best of it.
Yeah. So let's talk about this movie, White Lie. If someone had just given me this description for this, I would be like, oh, I'm not interested in that. That sounds like a drama. But then I watched the trailer and it's just like we said earlier on the show, it's like Uncut Gems. It's like such an intense edge of your seat thriller about this deeply screwed up person who you just cannot stop watching. And I just want to say I absolutely loved the movie. What was it like playing this, you know, wonderful, horrible character once again, actually, because I think Abigail has a little bit of an overlap. They both share a lot of secrets.
Yeah, I seem to always end up playing these people who, like, who maybe look like these, like, sweet people on the outside, but they have some big old demons on the inside. Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy you enjoyed the film. And playing Katie was, oh my God. I mean, I loved it. I when I choose to work on something, or when I get the opportunity to work on something, it's always my favorite when I'm totally scared, like just pooping my pants every day, getting ready to go to work with something I have to do. And this film was just full of those days. I mean, starting with shaving my head for real.
Yes. And that and that scene is actually not in the movie. It's in the trailer because the movie jumps so far ahead in Katie's story, her initial head shave wouldn't be in it. And I just want to ask you, as someone who also shaves their head, wasn't it awesome? Wasn't that a cool time?
It was one of the favorite things I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was the best. And not only was it just fun, it was also really helpful in like finding Katie and who she was. Like, that physical act is so, for me, extreme, because I'd never done it. And that helped me really get into her. But just as a human, like, I wanted to do it kind of as like a, like an experiment, just to see what it's like to be out in the world with no hair as a lady and feel the sensations. I mean, I grew up with a mom who basically rocks a crew cut. So like, I was constantly jealous of her, like, puppy belly, basically. That's what we called it. And so I was extremely excited to feel like wind on my scalp and things like that. And we shot in the dead of winter. So I really, really got the full experience.
You really felt it. Yeah. You really felt it. Like, people, like, I'm always wearing a hat once like September hits. Like, I'm always.
Oh, we had a day that was so cold. We got a surprise blizzard. It was like out of nowhere, freezing cold. It was one of our first days of shooting. So we were still like figuring stuff out, and we had to shave my head 4 times. Because my hair kept growing, like 5 o'clock shadow on my head, which was kind of gross, but also amazing. I was like, wow, bodies. They really do everything they can.
I'm jealous. This is the longest my hair's been in 10 years because I'm not cutting it in lockdown. I'm like, I just want to be bald. I just want to cut it. I usually have like a pixie cut. I'm like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Short hair is really, it does something. It's good.
It's a lot lower maintenance, too. I wanted to ask, like, what else did you do to prepare for the role? Because, like, so it's such a psychologically and a physically and psychologically intense role. I wanted to ask about that.
I, like, exercised pretty intensely. I wanted to, like, physically exhaust my body, but also really be in it, just because she is a dancer and that's her main form of expression. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time just running myself ragged with cardio, which I have since stopped doing, thank God. That was a big part of it. And then I think just really digging into her psychology through that avenue, like through the physical avenue, trying to not get too thinky about it, but also consider, you know, like the causes and conditions that bring somebody to making the choice to behave this way and and weave these gigantic lies. And ultimately, I think with any person that people look at and label as fad, whatever that means, when I play them, my job is to find compassion for their situation and how they got there and how they're trying to make the best of it, even if from the outside looking in, it just looks really bad.
Because you really are all the way in Katie's perspective, like the entirety of the movie, like very close and very intense on her. And you see her doing all these awful things, but you never really like, there's no point where you decide that she's a completely irredeemable, because you see her trying to figure out, you see her not, because she's lost and scared because everything is falling apart. So she's not, maybe she was in control and manipulative for the years leading up to this, but this is her like losing that control and having other people put their dump down on her. When she goes to like fill out, turn in the paperwork or meet her father, she's not, even though she's a horrible person, she's basically disempowered for most of the movie. So I end up you feeling like a lot more sympathy for her than you might expect, given how, you know, awful, objectively awful what she's done.
Somebody's life falling apart is somebody's life falling apart. It sounds like we achieved our goal of not making her this inaccessible, evil person. My hope is that people find little bits of themselves, whether they identify it as that or not, in her. Like, we all lie, we all wear masks, we all maybe manipulate to some extent. And of course, Katie's version of that is like the most massive version. But hopefully people are watching and be like, oh my God, I did that in college. Totally. But, you know.
Yeah, people do be lying online.
Yes, they do. Hello.
I saw on like IMDb that this was shot on film, which it looks great.
First of all, shout out to Chris Liu, who is our incredible DP. Like, he's just an absolute masterpiece of a human and magic worker of film. And that stuff with the head shaving that you see in the trailer was our camera tests. We just decided to shoot the shaving of the head just to have it. But I found working on film as an actor, like, my experience of my job is quite alchemical, and like, it sort of exists in this space that isn't really attached to reality. Like, it's quite ephemeral. And shooting on film, I felt added to that. Like, it was this magical process of like, we think we got it, but we won't really know until we get stuff back, and
it has to go to a lab. Like,
yeah, the olden days. You know, totally. And we did, you know, there was stuff we thought we had that we had to reshoot because something was funky with the film or whatever. And that process I sort of enjoyed. Like, it was less, there was more mystery, kind of, which I, again, scared me. And we only had a limited amount of like stock that we had, so I was like, well, you can't fuck it up, Casey. Like, you gotta get it. Yeah, it was good. And even like the sound of the film camera, like, it's just, it's like meditative for me. I loved it.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, speaking of creating magic, you were doing Hannibal. Did you know you were making the Graves TV show?
Oh my gosh. That's so kind. Oh, it makes me like all squirmy.
We asked the tough questions here.
Oh my God. Yeah. Feet to the flame. I think I was just like such a little baby when I came onto that show, like got the job when I was like taking a theater course to be like, to be a legit actor. Like, maybe I have to go to theater school. Like, I don't know. And then I came onto the show and I was working with these people that I admired so hugely, like creepy almost, like would bow down to them if it wasn't completely inappropriate. It was my film school, my theater school. I just showed up, and from my experience of it anyway, it was just like sponging up as much as I could from Maz and Hugh and everybody else on that. And I think making it, we were just like, this is cool. Like, they're letting us do all this stuff. And like, stuff that at that time on like a network like NBC was just not a thing that was happening. We were like, well, we feel a lot like a cable show, but like, cool. Like, we're going to keep like sneaking this past as much as we can. And I don't know. It was just totally, totally surreal. And I'd been such a fan of Brian's too. And the fact that he was like, yeah, that one, she seems cool. I was like, nah. Oh my God. Okay. I love you. Yeah.
Now that you've done more television work, especially, what would you say differentiated Hannibal?
Certainly Hannibal has the largest, most vocal, most engaged fan base of any show I've worked on. In my, I mean, I've worked on shows that have huge fan bases outside of that, but Hannibal is like another level of just like, and like a community that I haven't experienced anywhere else. And creative, like the thing that excites me most about the fan base of Hannibal is that like so much art comes out of it, and so much camaraderie and sharing of mutual experiences and support comes out of that community, which I don't know, it just has like a different flavor to it. And in terms of my experience of working on that show, I think, you know, it was, it felt like making a little movie where everybody was there to try and make art. Like everybody was just there to try and make it the most beautiful, affecting thing that we could, outside of the like larger capitalist framework, if you will.
Yeah. You know, like,
yeah, like we kind of operated in this little pocket of course we were aware of it because that's where we were getting our money, but yeah, we were all kind of like a little bit weird. Like we were like, I don't think we quite fit in this with this system, but we're here making it, so that's cool.
Yeah, I've talked about on the show that, you know, Netflix actually did approach Brian Fuller for season 4, but he said the time and the money was not enough to produce the Hannibal that all of you could produce inside, not to do it. And I thought that was just so different, and I'm happy. Even if I mean, there's still always talk about doing more, but you know, it ended on a good note, and I'm happy that it maintained the same quality all the way throughout.
I think that's super important to Brian and everybody involved with the show. Like we would never want to cheapen the message or the quality of the product just to get it out there. Like we would want it to be the best that it could possibly be.
So I do want to ask you now, you're playing all these dark, twisted, you know, characters.
Yes.
And you mentioned that, you know, all your characters have this very, you know, kind, sweet exterior, but this darkness inside. If I may ask you, Casey, what's your dark, twisted secret?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Are you my therapist? I mean, gosh, my dark, twisted secret? My goodness. I don't know. I think just stay a secret. But I definitely, you know, we all hold some darkness. I think we all have to make friends with that darkness at some point. That's what I'll say on that.
Okay. All right. Look, I don't want to mess with you. I don't want to mess with Abigail or Katie. we mentioned on the show, we don't want to spoil it, but there's one particular scene where it's just so terrifying, the turn that Katie takes in her head when the game, it seems like the game is up, and then she's like, no, actually your game is up.
That was like, fantastic. It's like chilling.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, thank you. That was a fun one.
What are your like absolute favorite roles to play?
The more three-dimensional somebody is the more interesting to me. Complicated women who aren't nice are always appealing to me. Troublesome women, bothersome women, people that you wouldn't necessarily want to have lunch with. Those are things that I'm drawn to. Also, you know, opinionated, impassioned ladies, always. Political women, big time. And I think also, too, I've done a little bit of comedy in my day, but I'm the child of two improvisers, an improviser and a stand-up comedian. So like that would be nice to be able to bring that out a little bit more. For sure. It would be great.
Are they upset that you jump straight to the drama instead of doing the comedy career and then making the Bill Murray turn?
Amazing. Yes. Oh my gosh. I think they were just, like excited that I was working. And I think they're both happy, or they both believe that I'm good at the work that I do. My mom will often say, like, if I didn't think you were good at your job, that would be torturous. So I think they're just like, oh yeah, she seems to be like having fun and making interesting work. That's great. But both of them are like, so like a comedy, like, what are you gonna, literally as soon as it comes across my desk, like, I'm so ready. That sounds great. And I have done it, but I would like to do it again.
Thank you so much for joining us. White Light, you can pre-order it now. It's going to be out on VOD on January 5th. Is there anything else you want to share with people? Where can they find you online?
Twitter, if you dare, at Casey Cadoodles. And same on Instagram, at Casey Cadoodles. That's where you can find me.
Awesome.
Folks, that was Struggle Session.
Bye.
Have a good
Thanks, one.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Splinters of my soul cut through your skin. And burrow within, and burrow within. Splinters of my soul cut through your skin, and burrow within, and burrow within. Splinters.